east of the Rockies, you'll hear the blue jay. So, how'd you do? Let's run through them again. American robin. Olive-sided flycatcher. Red-tailed hawk. Steller's jay and blue jay. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein. This episode is brought to you by Teton Science Schools, specializing in outdoor learning experiences and education in Grand Teton National Park. More at TetonScience.org.
celestial lover descended from the deep. You're a specimen of artistry.
Behind My Lips by Misophonia. What an absolute banger of a track. It was released just a few weeks ago by the, I don't know what state they're from, but by the US-based overseas idol duo, Misophonia. Before that, you heard Garasu no Hanazono by Muse from the anime Love Live. And you might be thinking, throughout this hour, you're like, Leslie, these songs are like suspiciously short for some reason. What's going on? I feel like you're cutting them. And to that I say, I have been trimming them because I don't think songs should be, usually I think songs should not be more than 3.5 minutes long, particularly if they're pop songs. Like, I don't understand what is happening in the realm of, okay, listen, just really quickly, right? Like, K-pop and J-pop right now, they are having like a war between of song lengths for some reason, and it's like driving me up the wall either way you go. In K-pop, songs are like 15 seconds long for some reason. What's going on? They like literally end abruptly. Oh my god, have you heard any of the new HYBE songs? Randomly just ends after like what seems to be 20 seconds. And then in J-pop, they're like 43 minutes long. Like, either way, it's like, when you like K-pop producers, you have nothing to say. And then J-pop producers, shut the hell up. Why do you need to be talking so much? Do a podcast if you're gonna be talking that much, right? And then trim the songs that are too long because you got to keep talking. Yeah, so I have been trimming songs and I don't care. How about it? I also have to say I accidentally did a thing with the playlist today. The playlist actually accidentally follows kind of like the trajectory of Class S to Yuri. I don't really know how this happened. It just did with the way that I like ordered the songs based off of the vibe. Because like, as we talked about earlier, you know, Class S is not always romantic. It is just like really emotionally charged. And oftentimes begins with a younger girl admiring the beauty of an older girl. And she's like, wow, she's so beautiful. I love her. I want to be friends with her. And that is actually accidentally how the playlist kind of started. Heart Attack by Chu is literally her being like, oh my God, you are so beautiful. I need to have you in my life right now. You're the best. And she's like, It's kind of like about falling in love with an idol, to be honest. But that's like what the music video is like, kind of like. And then the Nogizaka songs, Guru Guru Katen is about two friends who are like hiding behind the curtain of their classroom, and like exchanging secrets. And there's literally a lyric in there that's like, we are living in our own world, which again is very Class S, and the song itself is kind of like, it has like a tinge of this like falling in love with your best friend kind of feeling in the lyrics. Harujionga Sakukoro. The music video is a must watch if you really want to understand Class S, because it takes a lot of visual cues from those stories that would be in Hanamonogatari. It's set in the music video is set in the Taisho period, and it follows the relationship between a number of girls in a school. When one of them graduates, there's like a potential like backstabbing in there. There's like a maybe like a love triangle. There's an older student and a younger student, and they have like a very close relationship. It is really like Class S if it was Yurified, if you've kind of been following what I've been saying. But I really think that if you are interested in understanding Class S and Yuri, after listening to today's program, you should watch the Harujionga Sakukoro music video by Nogizaka 46. And then, of course, in the playlist, when we were listening to Magnet, Garasu no Hanazono, and My Heart Behind My Lips, these songs are more Yuri, actually. My Heart Behind My Lips is not so much about forbidden love because of social pressures and like the taboo of being a gay, the sexy taboo of being gay and repressed, but it's more so about, you know, the boundary that you won't want to cross with your friend, because what if this ruins your friendship? But it's still about forbidden love, right? And Magnet and Garasu no Hanazono is very specifically about the sexy taboo of being a lesbian, which a lot of Yuri stories had kind of developed into, or a lot of stories that kind of take cues from Class S developed into as they became like Yuri. Because I'm not a historian and I'm not, you know, a literary critic, I'm not a media critic, I'm literally just like out here with a mic. Take it away, but don't take it away, that's repression of speech. Anyways, after reading Hanamonogatari, I couldn't help but to like just find myself swimming in questions around authorship and readership with, you know, if we're going to follow the convention of the media, the conventional media analysis of Class S being the root of Yuri. Because it seems to me that Class S, I guess I can only say Hanamonogatari. I haven't read any other fully, truly Class S stories of that time. It seems to me that Hanamonogatari is a creative work that comes out of a need for this writer, this writer who is both a lesbian and also a feminist, to respond to the ways in which society oppressed people in her class, right? The ways in which society oppressed women and made it so that women were not allowed to pursue certain careers. They weren't necessarily allowed, they weren't necessarily able to pursue a higher education if they did not come from like a specific class background, or had the funds to, right? That women also could not explore different types of relationships that did not involve men. But Yuri, the way that it has developed, I don't know that it has developed in a way that necessarily has a kind of like political and social consciousness in the way that Hanamonogatari does. And that's not necessarily like a bad thing. But I also find it very interesting because Class S isn't always romantic. It isn't always like lowercase r romantic, but Yuri almost always is erotic in the Greek sense, right? In the, you know, the sexual and romantic way. So, I mean, like, even when we think about those nuances of what I was just talking about, right, with those songs, there's a nuance between having a secret special relationship with somebody and then having a forbidden relationship with somebody, right? One of them is just intimate. The other one is a little saucy, you know what I mean? And I don't know, there's just a part of me that wonders that's interested in knowing that lineage, I guess, in a deeper way. I know that a big part of the history of Yuri also involves just like shoujo manga from the 1970s. And as we've discussed on the program in previous episodes, cjsf.ca to find those episodes, shoujo manga from the 70s was written by young women who wanted to explore topics around autonomy, desire, pain, trauma, gender, sexuality, oftentimes in a way that, typically in a way that like was removed, very, very far removed from the male gaze. And so that's where you got Boys Love, like basically yaoi, that is also when you start to see girls' love stories as well. Like Onisamae and the two in the white room, Shiroi Futari no He, Shiroi Heya no Futari. And at some point, I don't know, at some point it just, Yuri just kind of, I feel like, just begins to stray a little bit away from the female voice, right? Because, and as I've said before, again, on previous episodes of the show, being a reader of Yuri, I have encountered Yuri that feels like, yeah, it is written by a woman, and maybe more importantly, it's written by a queer woman. And then I've also encountered Yuri that's just like, not that. It's very like, it's very saucy and titillating and all of those things, right? It could be pornographic in nature. Either of these things could be pornographic in nature. But, you know, when the porn comics, I guess, like, take on a male gaze versus a female gaze, you can kind of notice it, that type of thing. And hey, let me not discredit some of these other stories. You know, a lot of Yuri is not pornographic in nature. Let me just make that very, very clear. And it is also written by, you know, people across the gender spectrum, including a lot of men. But after reading Hana Monogatari, I just couldn't help but to begin to swim and wade in a lot more questions about Yuri and readership and authorship. Class S was successful as a genre because it became a genre that was written for and by girls. And I think Yuri, as it was in the 1970s and 80s, very similarly also, this, you know, this is a decade of Yuri that I haven't had much of an opportunity to fully explore yet, but I think in great part it also became successful because it was written by girls who were exploring questions that only girls and women would experience, for specifically girls. And now we are living at a time where in which Yuri is incredibly popular. It's becoming quite a bit more mainstream. It is enjoyed by various audiences, which is great. And, you know, Class S and Yuri of the 1970s had also been enjoyed by various audiences as well. But there is a lot more authorship by men and people who are not women aligned. And these stories, I think, sometimes are a little bit more removed from the experiences that, like, girls and women would have. And that's not necessarily a bad thing inherently. I just wonder what impact that has on readers. This is just a question that I have had around both girls' love and boys' love for many, many years, as both a woman and as a queer person, as one could say, a queer woman, and also as a feminist. But I'm going to put down some of those questions for now, and I'm going to return to only some of them in a couple of weeks when I come back and talk to you about yaoi becoming popular amongst Western audiences thanks to Jacob Tierney. Strap in, get ready. But thank you so much for listening to today's episode of Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. There are no answers today, and that's not what this episode is meant for. It's just, you know, I just wanted to raise questions and, like, talk about Class S and Hana Monogatari. This is something that I'm very, very interested in. And if you are a person who's also interested in the history of Girls Love, Yuri, and all of that, please get in touch. 778-782-2573 is how you can text me. You can text us on our phone line here at CJSF. You can also email me, typically Tuesdays@gmail.com. I read your emails and I read your texts, and it would be really cool to connect with people who also have similar questions around this genre of these genres of stories, I should say. But tune in to more great CJSF program and listen to Bitcoover Tuesdays from 8 to 10. Played some Vocaloid today, almost as a little call to DJ Lately, who also sometimes plays Vocaloid music. But his show is Bitcoover Tuesdays 8 to 10 in the evening, all about chiptune and electronic music. It's very fun. Check it out. I'm going to close off today with one final track. Again, this music video has some Yuri in it. It's a lot of fan service Yuri. It's very cute. My favorite member of Not Equal Me, Kanisawa Moeko, wears glasses in it, and she is the best. I love her. My number one crab, Kani-chan. But yeah, get into it. This final track is by Not Equal Me. It's called Kimi wa kono natsu koi o suru. You will fall in love this summer. And maybe you will, if you want it. I don't know. But I've been Leslie here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM, and I will talk to you again very soon. Kiss you, say, well, I'll put them in your